And the definition I was told about democracy came back to me. And I remember the simplest definition is that democracy is government of the people, by the people, for the people. And it was like the Spirit of God was asking me, what is that again? Government of the people, by the people, for the people. And it was like, can you see God in that? Everything is about people. People, people, people. But God rules a theocracy, not democracy. God is the Most High. You can't vote him out. No matter how majority may decide one day that, you know what, we are tired of God, let's cast votes and vote God out, then you will know the sovereignty of God. It happened, Genesis chapter 11. The whole earth was of one language. They were of one heart. And they decided to do one thing together. Talk about unity. They were going to build a tower. And that tower was going to reach up to the sky, to heaven. The Bible records that even God looked down and saw what was happening. And God himself said, you can't stop these people. Because they have one heart, one language. And whatever they have imagined to do, they will accomplish. So God moved in his sovereignty to let mankind know that he still rules in the affairs of men. He came down, and the Bible said, God confused their language. They couldn't speak the same thing anymore. Confusion set forth in their midst. And the Bible said they stopped building that tower. It was called the Tower of Babel. Babel means confusion. Never in the history of this nation has there been so much confusion as it is now. Do not panic, brethren. Be of good cheer. It's a sign that Jehovah has come down again. That's a parable. What should be our prayer this time? Not that, God, let there be Brexit, no Brexit, backstop, front stop, middle stop, no stop. Our prayer this time, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as it is in heaven. So let it be done in the United Kingdom. Nobody knows where everything is going to lead to. But God, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, knows the end from the beginning. And guess what? He has given the earth to his children, you and I, to rule. So enjoy. Brexit or no Brexit, Jehovah reigns. Okay, somebody said, I thought we came for Bible study. We came for Bible study. Tonight, we dedicate the first Bible study of the month for questions and answers. And if you are on any of the church WhatsApp groups, we sent out a link for every one of us to listen to. The link was the word which transformed to our theme that we'll be looking at for this month of September. And that theme is what? For those of us who faithfully clicked on the link and listened to the message, what was the title of the message? And what is the theme for September? Okay, somebody has given us, do we call that cheating? Or answer? All right, somebody say restoring gold back into the temple. Okay, they've removed it. Too late. Why are you removing it when they had seen it? Restoring gold back into the temple. Can I ask us, how many of us listened to that message? You played it back. You listened to it. Please, can I see your hands up? Okay. How many of us who listened to it kind of took notes? If you took notes and your note is here, can you lift your hand up? Because you will be called upon. So watch how you lift your hand up. Too late, sir. I saw your hand. How many of us have notes from maybe when this message was originally preached? And you have your note also here. We want contributions. But let me read the passage to us. The passage is from 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 to 28. 1 Kings chapter 14. Sorry, can I borrow a pen? I don't want to forget a scripture. 1 Kings chapter 14. So if you have 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. So let's read it. It says, it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them into the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And verse 28, and whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. Now, that is the introductory scriptures to what led to that message, that word, and the theme, restoring gold back into the temple. In this passage, we saw how a king attacked another kingdom. The king of Egypt attacked Jerusalem, and he went straight into the temple and took away all the gold from the temple. Took the gold away, took the gold from the house of the king also. Literally came in and wiped off the gold that was in the temple. And then what do we see happen? The king who was invaded was a king called Rehoboam. Immediately we see Rehoboam do something. All the gold that was wiped off from the temple, King Rehoboam decided to replace all the gold. But unfortunately, he replaced the gold with brass. He didn't replace the gold with gold. He replaced the gold with brass. He replaced the gold that was meant to be in the temple with brass. He replaced the gold that was even meant to be in the king's house with brass, not with gold. One of the deceptive things about brass is that brass can actually present itself as gold. You can look at brass and think it's gold. Or you can say, well, it looks like gold. So what are we talking about? The gold has been taken. We've replaced it with brass, with something that looks like. The Bible says there's a way that seems right. It seems right, but it's not right. It seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. So when we heard this word, we saw something that is like the tactic of the enemy. The enemy comes, like Jesus said, the thief comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, to destroy. And usually it's a progression. The enemy will first of all steal and then proceed. If you don't do anything about what was stolen, begins to kill. And then after killing, if you don't do anything about killing, destruction comes. One thing about destruction is that destruction literally just wipes away the memory of what was destroyed. You know, when you steal something from someone, the person can still remember what you stole from them. That, well, this so-and-so day, a thief came and stole my pen. I remember the day, I remember the hour. And then you leave it there. And then the same thief comes back again. Well, I've stolen the pen. Let me kill the owner of the pen. And then proceeds to kill. Well, they can still do a remembrance for the person that was killed. Every year, they remember in memoriam, in remembrance of chief so-so-so owner of pen. But destruction is even those trying to remember the person being remembered, the pen that was stolen, the wipe off the memory so that nobody even has any record. That is destruction. The day I understood what fire does, I was just burning paper. I burnt the paper. The fire burnt. The paper turned into ashes from white to brown to black. And I was seeing ashes. And then the next thing was I just decided to do this. I did that and I did, phew. I couldn't see anything again. There was no memory of the original paper. That's destruction. That's a picture of destruction. So we prayed that we are not going to sit back and watch the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. We are taking it back. We are demanding that the gold that was taken must be replaced, must be returned back into the temple from where it was taken. We are not sitting back and settling for brass. We are not replacing the gold with the brass. And this talks about many dimensions of life, and especially our devotion, our worship to God. Because the gold that was stolen from the temple. What happens in the temple? The temple is a place where everyone in Israel goes to worship God. And that temple was not just built just as a monument. It was built according to a pattern. God gave the pattern. This is how to build the temple. And put gold here, put gold there, put gold there. So it wasn't like a suggestion. It was more of God's command, and that's how God wanted his temple, and that's how God wanted the worship. So it's not like a substitute. So Shishak attacks the very heart of what makes the children of Israel be the chosen people of God indeed, because they worship God. Remember when they were in Egyptian captivity. What was the message that God gave Moses to go and tell Pharaoh in Egypt? Let my people go. Do you know why? He told them the reason. That they might worship me. The reason why God will heal you and I, so that we can worship him. The reason why God will bless you with the things you are asking for is so that you might worship him. Not that you will worship the thing he blesses you with. That's why at times God looks beyond when we pray. He sees our hearts. And he knows if you get this thing, you are going to begin to worship that thing, rather than him as the object of our worship. So that's just a little background. For those who probably read, I just want to take some contributions. And then also, if the ushers can help us, or if anybody has any question, because we're looking at questions about life generally, not just what we've been studying. We've been studying the book of Acts. If there are issues of life, things that concern us, we want to ask about, please let's feel free to also ask tonight. For example, we had a wonderful time. The men gathered last Saturday, and we didn't want to leave because questions started coming, but we were time-bound and we had to leave. So questions along that line or anything at all, but if it's got to also do with the what we're studying, we want to take questions, we want to take contributions. So, Samuel, you said you took notes. Okay, can you just share what you... And please, if you have any question, the ushers will... you can write it on a piece of paper, or if you want to ask it boldly, signify, and then where are the microphones? Let's see where the mics are. There's one there, one there, one there. There should be another one. How many mics?
Three.
Just three. Yeah. Okay, you give this side two and give this side one. Okay, well, Samuel, they pushed it to you, Samuel. All right, Samuel. So please, any question at all, this is the time. Let's ask. Let's be free. Yes, sir.
One of the few things I picked up was if you depend on your own understanding, then we as Christians are headed for destructions. And we require a spiritual authority to protect our own understanding. So if we're going to decide on something, we need to depend on God to make that decision for us rather than we making that decision. And
based on our own understanding, okay?
And also, one other point that I picked up was when he talked about how the gold was replaced with brass, he said it's like a weakened quality of worship.
Yep.
And he talked about how it then becomes difficult worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we should be very aware of that. And also, it's like he left us with our confession and made it equal with unbelievers. So it's like we're confessing our sins, but it's not really deep inside. Yeah.
So when we replace our quality of worship, our worship should be a golden kind of worship. We replace it with a brass kind of worship. We're not different from unbelievers. It weakens us spiritually. Okay? Thank you very much for that contribution. Who else raised their hands? And we'll probably want to share from listening to that. And I want to share, or if anybody has a question, please feel free also. Any question at all along that line. But if you want to write your questions down, please, where are the ushers? Who's going around to take questions from people? All right. Yeah. Any contribution? Please make this lively. We do this once a month so that somebody does not just stand here and talk. I've been talking all week. I've just gotten back to the college. Been talking, back to back, talk. Talk. Did you raise up your hand? Okay, there's a question. Okay, we'll take the question. With all the news of prominent Christian leaders declaring they are not Christians anymore, how do we know we are not deceiving ourselves? With all the news of prominent, in quote, Christian leaders declaring they are not Christians anymore, how do we know we are not deceiving ourselves? Okay. Let me try and understand this question. If you also have been lately, it's as if there's been a great falling away. People who have professed Christians and sadly who are also Christian leaders, pastors, some in recent times are saying they don't want to be Christians anymore. Some are reconsidering their faith, they're falling away and saying, you know what, I'm not following Christ anymore. So the question the person is asking is, how do we know we are not deceiving ourselves also? Okay, how do we know that we are not deceiving ourselves? Let's try to answer this question. So if you are a professing Christian yourself, how do you know that you're actually not living in deception? Maybe that's what the person's asking. I don't know. I hope. So how do you know that you are not deceiving yourself? Okay. Let's look at this scripture. You see, these things are very practical. Let's just look at these scriptures. I'm coming. It's in the book of James. Let's go to James. So how do I know that I'm not deceiving myself? I'm not living in deception. I'm not professing that I'm a Christian, whereas maybe one day, God forbid, I might just find myself denying the faith. Okay, number one, the Bible tells us in James chapter 21, I just want to read it. Sorry, James chapter 1, verse 21. Did I say James chapter 21? That's real deception now. If you do, if you are deceived that there's James chapter 21, you need to examine your faith on a very serious note. You believe there's chapter 21 of the book of James in the Bible. Oh, come on. All right, James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Just wait there, which is able to save your souls. Now, let's look at the issue of salvation, right? You become a believer because you are saved. You become saved because you received the word of God. The word of forgiveness, the word of faith, the word that says that, we've all have sinned, come short of the glory. Whosoever shall confess the name of the Lord shall be saved. You heard the word of salvation. You received the word of salvation. You believed, you confessed. That makes you to be saved. Because number one, if the issue of salvation is not there, then there's no need talking about deception because you're already deceived. So if you are not saved, if you've not received the word of God, the word of salvation. The Bible says God sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The Bible says in John chapter 1, as many as received the word, that is, in the beginning was the word was God, and verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. So the issue of salvation is the first thing we should settle. Am I saved? Have I received the word? Have I received the Lord Jesus? Do I believe that I've believed in my heart and I've confessed with my mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead for my own salvation? If that is settled, beautiful. So let's first of all start from the area of salvation. Are you saved? Are you genuinely, sincerely saved? Now, let me say something also about salvation. I got saved in 1986. I was 18 years old then. And for about 2 years after I got post-salvation, I wasn't living a life that I would say will make God happy. I knew I'd received salvation, but that's how far I knew. So I was more or less just living my life. You know, I didn't even know that I needed to be fellowshipping with other believers, you know, going for Bible study like this. I didn't really think about it. So I just kept on living my life until 2 years after I got saved that I began to understand that I needed to grow as a believer. And how do I grow? Just quick four things. Don't forget these four things. Your conversation with God is called prayer. You pray. Number two, His word that saved you. You study. You read the word of God. The Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need the word of God constantly. The word of God is like the food. It's like a newborn baby when you got saved, but if you don't give that baby food, the baby will die. The same way, if you don't have the word of God, receive the word of God, hear the word of God, study the word of God as a Christian, you will die. Your faith will just die. That's why when people come out, they give their lives to Jesus, we try to quickly start discipling them, encourage them, come to Bible study, come to prayer meetings. Let's sit down and grow as a newborn baby. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. So that's how you grow. If you don't grow, you are dying. So people give their lives, receive Jesus. If you leave it there, you will die. Take it from me. You will die. You are not growing spiritually. You will die spiritually. You'll find that it's so easy to slide back into the world again. So that was my story. 2 years after, I realized that, and I began to grow. I began to attend fellowship. I began to pray. I began to understand God. And the best way to really understand and know God is through his word. The word of God is God. God is his word. So I began to grow. I began to grow. I began to grow. I began to know God more. I began to grow. I began to grow my faith. Now, I will start deceiving myself, living in deception, if I am praying, hearing the word of God. Listen, let's go to the next verse. And I'm not doing what I'm hearing. The Bible says that, what? Verse 22. Be what? Doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving who? Yourself. So how do we know that we are not deceiving ourselves? This is one primary way you know you are living in self. Believe me, you're not deceiving anybody. It's yourself. You can sing, you can do all the outward display, but within you, you know you are not living the word of God. You are not doing what you are hearing. That is deception. It is easy to fall away when you are hearing, but you are not doing. So you see, it's not just about you come for prayer meetings, you come for Bible study, you attend all the fellowships, you are part of every WhatsApp group, you are part of discipleship, you are part of praying, 21 days prayer, but you are not doing, then you are living in deception. It is easy to fall away. That's why the Bible says, don't love in word only. Love with your deeds. Action. Your faith is dead without corresponding action. Faith without works is dead. Just like the body without the spirit is. So it's easy. Oh, yeah, show up in church. Oh, yeah. You know, you can't even be a preacher. Because the question is, with all the Christian leaders suddenly one day saying they are not Christians anymore, it's not that day they stopped being Christians. They were probably preaching, talking, but not doing. Do you know what the Bible says about the judgment of those who teach? Their judgment will be more. Because you are teaching, but you are not doing. You know, coming for this meeting tonight, I came under a heavy conviction. And that conviction has actually come, I've been under that conviction since last week. I was telling my wife that I just, you know, when you wake up and there was kind of power over me, I was praying. My spirit was praying, really praying, heavy praying, power. I knew it. And I was kind of praying for men. I don't know, maybe it had to do with that we just had a men's conference last Saturday. But the conviction again was love, love, love. God, do I love you enough? Am I loving you enough? And you know, one way you can measure your love for God, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. So I just asking myself, because I just, you know, I began conviction. I began to check myself. Do I still love people, you know? Because I'm just examining. I don't want to, you know, this is love assembly. You know, we're fellowship. That's our identity. That's who we are. We are born of God. We are born of love. You know, I was just checking myself. The Bible says, examine your own self. If you what? If you're in the faith. Don't examine other people. God, you will never see in the Bible that says you should go about examining other people. Jesus even preached against it. Why is it that you are so easily seeing speck in people's eyes, but you don't see the log in yours? If you're always quick to see what other people are doing, it's a sign that there's a heavy log in you. I'm telling you, examine your own. So I began to examine myself, Lord. And I began to pray, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love people more. Just help me if I've stopped loving people. Because I just noticed that people are annoying me. So I'm just checking myself. You know, I think we were having a conversation this morning. You know, I ranted a bit to him. I vented. I said, I don't like people who pretend. I don't like hypocrites. I've seen too many hypocrites. As a pastor, I've seen too many people who just want to use church, who want to use, hide under the cloak of Christianity, just want to use the pastor, use everybody in the church, and dump. So I'm tired. So I was asking God, I hope I'm not walking out of love. I just want to love people. But I'm realizing also that love is discipline. You don't condone sin in the name of love. Yeah, love covers a multitude of sins. But do you know what covering means? Did you understand covering? Let me approach it from an engineering perspective. Right? If there's a crack in this wall, yes, follow me, camera woman. Let's say there's a crack in this wall. The natural thing is to take cement, mix it, and do what? Cover the crack. You say you have covered the crack. Is that right? Okay. Now, this is what love does. Love does not take cement and just plaster the place and say, yeah, I've covered it. Because when you cover it like that, it will crack again. Do you know why? Because something caused that crack. So love goes to what caused the crack in the first place. And usually in engineering, when you see a crack like that, the first thing your mind tells you is, go and check the foundation. Root, cause. So you check the foundation, you check the root cause, and you address the root. When you address the root, maybe you have to do something with the foundation. After you've done that, then you can come and plaster it. It won't crack again. That's what it means, that love covers a multitude of sins. But you just cover it up, you don't address the root, it's going to come back. Oh, why is this person so rude? Why is this person so rude? I can't stand them. I hate them. And you know, when you hang around people who are very, very, very rude, they will annoy you. It's a matter of time. No matter how much you love them, you are tolerating. Excuse me, we are still living in this flesh. You know, find out lovingly, why are they rude? Maybe they grew up in a house where they were taught to be rude. You know, all these things are learned. Behavior is something we learn. The environment you grow up in will influence your conduct. So if you find out, okay, the person grew up in an environment where they are taught nothing but to be rude, how do you address it? Maybe you remind them that you are born again, sister. Sorry, it's not a sister. Why am I using sister? Brother, you're born again. You have the life of God in you. You see, you have to start speaking the language of the word of God. You don't talk like that. It doesn't show that you're a child of God when you talk like, you know, do you know some people can, they are rude and they don't know they are rude? No, they don't know, because that's what they're used to. You know, I've shared this funny story before. When I first, you know, got to this country and I joined an organization, I noticed that at a point, they tactfully told me to stop picking the phone when the phone rings in the office. I didn't understand why. Is it my accent? Later I understood why. When I pick the phone, there's a certain way I'm expected to talk. When I don't talk that way, the person on the other line, that was, who was that guy that picked the phone? That was rude. Hello? Yes? What do you want? Can I help you? Didn't know any better. So they sat me down and taught me. Hello, this is Netherly Valley Child Care Initiatives. May I help you? Are you speaking? I said, aha. So when they taught me, they now started allowing me to pick the phone. That's what it means to be born again. You will start speaking with new tongues. You think tongues is just chatter, 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 chatter? Good question. So examine yourself, and please, nobody saved you. If a leader fell, and for that reason you lose your own salvation, it means your own salvation was not genuine in the first place. Thank you for that question. Yes, any other question or contribution? Restoring gold back into the temple. You see, I will encourage us to please go and listen to that. Really, 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 really. As believers individually and as a church, we must not reduce our standard of worship. We must not lower our commitment to God. Now, on Sunday, you know, Prof was teaching. And, some of us remember, I said, if some of us are discerning, can you see God has been emphasizing one thing to us? Love, 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 love. Sarah took the microphone to sing for the offering. She sang a song, love. Did you know Prof was going to teach about love? No. That's not ordinary. And I saw that the number one, the real genuine gold that God will first of all restore back into his temple is his love. Love for God. Love for one another as we love ourselves, for your neighbor. That's the real gold that is in the temple. And there was one strong thing he said. Do you know that when you truly, genuinely love, let me come on the ordinary level, surface, when you truly, genuinely love someone, number one, do you know you don't struggle to believe them? Everything they tell you, you believe. If they tell you they can fly, you, yes. Because you love them. And do you know another thing? There's nothing you can't give them. Because you love them. That human level. Now, bring it to a spiritual level. We will not struggle to believe God if we truly love him. We will not struggle to give our hearts, our commitments, our worship to him if we truly love him. So the real problem is our love. You know what Jesus said? In the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Nobody will beg you to read the Bible, study, come for prayer meetings, fellowship. If you, your love for God and the things of God is hot, you will want to be where God is. Think about it. When you love somebody, you want to be where they are. I learned something today when we were coming. Noah was telling me that, you know, because Prof was saying, you know, in those days, in our time, it's letters you write to woo people. I love you. You are the apple of my eye. You know, rainbow in my sky. So Noah told me that, no, this generation, they don't write letters. They slide into your DM. I said, I didn't know that one. So he began to educate me. You slide into their DM. Sorry for those of us who are old school. DM means direct message. So if you're on a social media, which one is direct message? You need to be saved, brother. They will sell you this generation. You know, on their social media, Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or Twitter or Messenger. Hey, Uncle Charles Baba. You too, you did there. Don't worry, they can't lose us. No, we will catch up with them, sir. So there's a way you can send a direct message to somebody that will not be public. You know, if you have Facebook, I can type comment on your Facebook, everybody will read it. But I can send a direct message to you that nobody will read. It's personal. I'll just send it to you. I love you, babe. Slide into your DM. When you love somebody, you will slide into their DM. You will follow them. You will stalk them. He was telling me that that's how they stalk people. Just find somebody, you discover their face, just slide. Because you just want them. You slide into God's DM if you love God. Think about it. Our love must not wax cold. Paul prayed, I pray that your love will grow more and more and more. If anything we'll take away tonight, can we pray that our love will never grow cold. That restoration, the real gold that needs to come back into God's temple, which is us, is the love of God, which passes all understanding. Think about it. If I love you, I won't harm you. I won't hate you. I will forgive you easily. I will believe you. If we love God, you will not struggle with your faith, because faith itself works by love. You know, a whole new dimension. I began to check myself, heavy conviction. God, do I really still love you? Help me. The love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. So more of you, Lord, more of your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with more of your Spirit, oh God. I want to love and genuinely love you, love people, serve people. I began to pray. Love my neighbor, love my wife, love my children, love everybody. I just want to love. The Bible compares hatred with murder. You hate somebody, you've killed them. I just thank God for the dimension. I don't know, does anyone one question? Let's just pray. Please, let's pray. Let's close the meeting. We can talk till tomorrow. Love is the key, brethren. Love never fails. The love of God, can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray individually? Can you examine yourself if you're in the faith? Examine yourself if you truly, genuinely still love. Do you love God? Do you love the things of God? Do you love the people of God? Do you love what God loves and hates what God hates? Let's pray tonight, brethren. Let's talk to God individually. Let's talk to God individually. Let's pray.